You're listening to Invited In with Christine Boyle, where disability and faith meet. Here's your host, Christine Boyle. You are invited in.
Hey guys, well, I am so excited to be back with you again, sitting here in studio court. Yeah, so glad to be with you. Hey, I just wanted to throw something out there real quick before we start today. So thank you guys so much for continuing to listen. It's been incredible. I think I've hit recently like 1,300 downloads, which is awesome for, you know, 8 episodes in. That's just absolutely incredible. So thank you so much for listening and for sharing. I'm going to ask a favor of you though. Would you kindly rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening? This will work for you to do on any platform other than my website. So if you are going to christineboyle.com to listen to the podcast, you're not going to be able to do this, but any other platform that you're listening on, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon, any of those, if you would just kindly leave me a rating and a review, that would be awesome. It just helps build credibility that if somebody comes across the name of my podcast, sees it on one of those apps, you know, if they see that this is a show that's meaningful to other people, that it's got good ratings and good feedback, they're going to be more likely to click on it and listen. And my goal in doing this always is to encourage, to equip, to educate. And so you get to be a part of that by doing something as simple as leaving a review or rating for the show. So thank you in advance for doing that. I appreciate it a ton. But hey, let's get started today. So this episode that I'm going to do today, I titled it, I'm Done. And I know that probably seems like a really simple title because I feel like all my other titles have been like really lengthy. But you know, I wanted to share something with you guys about just a season in my life when things were really challenging for me, for Dan, for Courtney. And I just had this really transformative moment with the Lord. But the reason I felt so compelled to share this with you guys today is because I think we've all been there. I think we all have. If you're a follower of Christ, I think you've been in this space before. The sad part to me is that a lot of us don't want to admit that we've been there, that we've been in this space. But the more and more I follow Jesus, the longer I've walked with Christ, the more I've just matured as a woman, I feel like I've just come to realize that perfection does not draw me in to people, if that makes sense. If somebody presents themselves to me that they have it all together, then I feel like they're not going to get my life at all. They're not going to get the things I've walked through. They're not going to get these highs and lows that I've gone through. And I don't remember if I share this, but a handful of months ago, I was in Orlando and I went to PodFest. And one of the biggest takeaways I had from that conference, and it's a secular conference, right? Not a Christian conference, was someone said, perfection is gross. Did I share this yet? I might have, because it really impacted me tremendously. And honestly, they were talking about it in regards to podcasting. Like this woman who was saying this was adamant, do not edit your podcast. No one wants perfection. So put the podcast piece aside, I'm going to take it a step further and say perfection is gross to people. We cannot relate to perfection because none of us are perfect, right? And so if someone has this presentation, has this facade that they have it all together, they're going to be one of the most unrelatable people. Right? And sometimes I fear that the church is like that, that Christians are like that. And so, you know, I find myself kind of clinging to and wanting to be close with and investing in relationships where you can just be authentic. And that is something that my journey with Christ, my experiences with my kids, the things I've walked through in life, I feel like one of the greatest gifts I've been given by those experiences And by this call on my life to share and do things like speaking and having a podcast is to be authentic, to be transparent, because that is really what is going to resonate with people. So that is my heart as I share with you today. Is just, I know anyone who's listening to this, you're not looking for perfection. You're not looking for, you know, this Christian person who says, I have it all together. I never doubt. I never sin, right? You're not looking for that. I know you're not. And so that's not what I'm bringing in any of my episodes. And that's definitely not what I'm bringing today. So I just want to say too that, like, I am so broken. I mean, you know, even today I was just weeping as I was just writing out this scripture today. And I was weeping for a lot of reasons. One of them was my own brokenness. Just, you know, today's my 42nd birthday. So this podcast obviously gets recorded a few days before it gets, you know, put out there and published. So, you know, today's my 42nd birthday. And there's so much good, right? There's so much good. It's another year of life, and that's a gift. And Courtney taught me that. I mean, she really did. Her life taught me, don't take anything for granted. And now that she's gone, it's taught me even more, don't take anything for granted. So when I, you know, find myself going, I don't want to be 42, I don't want to get old, part of me is like, it's God's grace. It's God's grace. It's another year. It's another day, right? So I do believe that. But then I'm also in this really challenging season of a lot of family dysfunction, a lot of broken relationships, a lot of church issues, just so many different things. And it's been a hard, hard season. And again, kind of going back to what I was saying a couple minutes ago, you know, in this season, oh my word, the people that I have run to and poured my heart out to are the people who could sit across the table from me or, you know, go sit and have a margarita with me. And I can just share, like, man, this is what I'm walking through. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. And so I just want to put that out there that this has just been a really hard season of life for me, for Dan, you know, obviously, you know, season of loss for us in a variety of ways, but especially, you know, any day that's like a celebration is hard because our girl's not here, you know, Court's not here. And so even good days are still really hard for us. But so I just want to say that to you that today, as I was praying and as I was writing out this scripture, you know, the word that came to my mind was restoration. And my prayer to God as I was praying and writing out this scripture was just, Lord, like, I need you to carry me right now. I need you to, like, literally carry me because my hands are tired, my legs are tired, my heart's tired, my brain's tired. Like, Lord, I need you to carry me through these challenging times. And that's the truth. And I know many of you listening to this can relate to that, that you're just tired. You're just tired because life is hard. This world that we are journeying through, this world that we are walking through is absolutely hard. And then on top of it, you know, I have this dear, 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 one of my closest friends whose daughter has disabilities and chronically ill, and she's been in the hospital for multiple weeks and has had a terrible handful of months. And I'm, you know, watching, quote unquote, watching, because I, you know, I'm just Facebook posts and phone calls and texts. I'm watching one of my closest friends fight for her daughter's life. And she's asking me really hard questions, right? Because she knows what we've walked through. And, you know, and so today just being with the Lord, it was just like crying out for them because they're going through something so hard. And so, you know, she loves Jesus. She loves Jesus. but she's had some tough questions for him. Because this life is hard and suffering is hard. And so whether disability is part of your journey or not, we all know what it's like to walk through hard times. So I wanted to share just a time with you that I told God I was done. And that's where that title comes from. So many, many years ago, this was even before Kevin, Courtney had started going into intestinal failure. And we didn't know what it was, though. We didn't know it was intestinal failure. We just knew that this little girl who couldn't talk was in horrific pain almost all the time. And the crazy thing was that we struggled tremendously to even find people to manage her pain, because doctors are really uncomfortable managing pain when they don't know, number one, what the pain is. And then in Court's case, she had a respiratory rate that was about a third, or even sometimes towards the end of her life, about a fourth of what is normal. And so, you know, as a lot of you probably know and understand, you start using narcotics and things like that, that slows your respiratory rate. And so basically, I just watched this child suffer. I mean, I vividly can remember the one time being admitted in our children's hospital. And I remember just looking at the physician and saying, just discharge us, because I would rather be at home watching my child suffer than sitting in one of the best children's hospitals in the country watching my child suffer. That's how frustrated we were, right? And so we're in this season of just, like, I'm talking horrific, horrific pain. And I'll jump forward for a second and say, as we learned in, you know, months and probably even more like years down the road of exactly what was transpiring, we were told that this, it's called pseudo obstruction that she would have. It was like a bowel obstruction, but it was pseudo, but it still felt like a true bowel obstruction. I remember our surgeon saying, people who can verbalize it say that it feels like they're getting stabbed, that they're getting stabbed. And so basically, my little girl, again, totally helpless. Any child is helpless, but she couldn't even verbalize and say, this is what I'm feeling, was in so much pain. And there was like almost nothing we could do to help her. And so I just remember it was a day that it was so bad. It was so bad, you guys. And if you've been following this podcast from episode one, then you'll remember me sharing this. But if you haven't, I'll just kind of re-summarize. But I shared in episode one how one of the very first things I learned as a brand new Christian about the Lord was sovereignty, that God is sovereign, which means He is in control of everything. And so that was something that the Lord instilled deeply into me, into my heart, into my mind. And that's great when life is good, right? Sovereignty, the sovereignty of God is great if things are going great. Like, we'll praise Him for all the great things, right? But when we're walking through really hard things, as Johnny Erickson Tada, who's a quadriplegic who you've heard me reference probably many times on this podcast, she's a hero of the faith. As she says so perfectly, when you start to learn and understand that God is in control, it's either going to make you love Him or hate Him. And this day for me was a day where I had just basically said, I'm done. If this is who you are, if this is what you allow, I am crying out to you and you are doing nothing. You can fix this. You can make this better, and you're not. And so if this is who you are, I'm done. I'm done. And I remember physically putting my hands up, and I was just kind of pacing in my living room And I remember just saying, I'm done. Have you been there? Have you been in those moments where you are so angry at God? I've had many. I've had many. And this is just one that was probably the most pivotal for me, the most transformative for me. But I was done. I was done. In so many words, I just kept telling him, I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of being a Christian if this is how you are. And the reality, you guys, is that if you have walked through really hard things, and maybe you haven't, you know, right? Maybe there are some people who are like, dang, I've never been to that point. I've never, you know, dealt with something so hard that has gotten me to that point. But for me, when you are walking through really hard things, and these are things that just, I mean, deep within your soul, you have to wrestle with, right? Like, you're going to ask tough questions. You should be asking tough questions. Absolutely, you should be asking tough questions. Because the reality is that you need to understand who God is. And that's really behind that anger, behind the pain, behind the heartache. It's just our hearts crying out to understand, God, who are you? Who are you? Where are you in the midst of this? It's our hearts and our minds crying out and just saying, like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. And so that day when I told God I was done, This is how good and kind God was. Shortly after that, after kind of calming down, I remember just sitting down and thinking, okay, well, if I'm really done with this Christian thing, then I, you know, not going to go to church anymore. So I'm probably going to lose, like, you know, my church friends. And, you know, my husband's a Christian. And so this is probably going to, like, destroy my marriage. And I just started thinking of all the things I was going to lose if I really wasn't going to follow Christ anymore, if I was really done. And here's where it gets really good. The thing God showed me that I would be losing is you don't get heaven. You don't get heaven without me. You don't get hope without me. You don't get the hope of heaven without me. Like, take Jesus out of the equation. I mean, if you're a follower of Christ, then you know that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, that without him, we do not get heaven, right? And so here I am looking at this going, this is a pivotal moment. Wow, sorry, this just hit me. So I haven't really verbalized this since Courtney passed away. But in that moment, I realized, how can I give up heaven? How can I give up telling her that someday this is all going to be made right? How am I going to give up believing that there is heaven, that there is hope? And really, in the midst of suffering, how do I make any sense out of this if I don't believe in Jesus? And so I'm sure as you're hearing this, you're probably recognizing exactly what happened. And so I went from through the roof kind of anger, sadness, grief, frustration with the Lord, to then Him just gently and kindly showing me, without me, you have nothing. Without me, you have nothing. And man, it was a humbling experience. It was humbling for a handful of reasons, but it was a humbling experience to stop and go, really, truly, without God, I have nothing. I have nothing to tell my little girl who is living this pain right now. I have nothing to cling to with all of my heart that there is a heaven and there's restoration to come. The other humbling piece of it was, here I am screaming, yelling at the God of the universe saying, I am done. If this is who you are, I am so done. I don't want any part of this. Here I am yelling, giving up. And what does he do? Like we know Jesus was the image of the invisible God, right? He was God in flesh. So let's bring this in that this is Jesus, right? This is Jesus coming in front of me by my side and just coming close and saying, like, you need me. There's nothing without me, Christine. You need me. I'm the answer. It may not all get fixed, but I'm the answer. I'm the answer in heaven and for heaven, but I'm also the answer this side of heaven. And so just think of that. Think of that. I mean, talk about an amazing, unconditional love that God displayed in that moment to me. Like, if someone got in our face and said, I am done with you, if this is who you are, I mean, what's our nature? Our nature is to clam up, get angry, retaliate, and go, fine, right? Like, whatever. I don't like you either. But not God. Not God. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us in Scripture that it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And that's in our initial repentance when we come to know Him and put our faith in Him. But that is also in that repentance when we fall away or we throw up our hands and say we're done. It is His kindness that leads us to repentance. And that's what He did that day. I mean, figuratively, He sat down next to me, held my hand and said, without me, you have nothing. I am your answer. And I knew it. I knew that in that moment, even though my heart, because see, guys, we live in this world now where it is so popular to say, follow your heart, just follow your heart. How many tumblers and t-shirts and, you know, stickers on water bottles have you seen that just say, follow your heart? And yet the Bible, the Word of God says, no, your heart is deceitful and wicked. Don't follow it. As Christians, we're told, do the exact opposite. Our hearts cannot be trusted. Do not follow your heart. And here's God saying, I am greater than your heart. I am greater than your heart. And there's a scripture that actually says that says he is greater than our hearts. Praise God that he is greater than our hearts, that our hearts are deceitful and wicked, but he is greater than our hearts. And the other humbling piece of this was also just realizing how secure I am in Christ. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I think it helps understand me and my upbringing. But I mean, I grew up in a very legalistic Christian denomination. And some of it wasn't even necessarily the denomination. I probably lumped that together with people that had influence in my life that were just ultra legalistic. And so I grew up with this mentality that, like, you can easily lose your salvation, or, you know, you go screw up at a party in high school and dang, you're not a Christian that night, but you might be tomorrow. And just a kind of a really warped theology. And then when I became a believer and found Christ for myself, obviously God just totally transformed this warped theology I was brought up in and believing. But so in this moment, here I am just in awe of this God who just said, you can't even walk away. Even when your wicked, deceitful heart is telling you to walk away, no one, nothing, Satan, not you, not anybody else can take you from my hand. And that is a promise we have from God in Scripture. No one can pluck us out of his hand. Nobody. Not even myself. And so it was so humbling to recognize how secure I am in Christ. Like, I am his. I am his. I can't walk away. I can't. Like, even in the moment I thought I could, here's my Father coming to me and saying, no, no, no. No, and here's why. And he did it in kindness to lead to repentance, but that was also part of that security that I have in him, that no one or nothing can take me from him. I am his and he is mine forever. And so the crazy thing this day is, again, I go from this heightened, I'm so angry, I'm done, I want no part of this, I'm not a Christian anymore, to then completely in awe, completely humbled by this God who met me right where I was, who said, no, 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 let me enter into this and speak truth to you. And that day was transformative for me for many reasons. The reasons I just shared with you. But it was also transformative to me because it taught me a great lesson in that book that I referenced in my first podcast, When God Weeps. And again, I'll always recommend this book if you're walking through hard things and you just want to understand the theology of disability, the theology of suffering, and just want to understand better who God is in the midst of suffering. You know, at one point in this book, she just explains he can handle, like, when you love him, he can handle when you're beating on his chest and screaming and crying and you're angry at him. Even that anger draws you to him. It is still at him. Does that make sense? Like, has anyone ever told you that? Because when I experienced it, I remember just feeling like, yes. Yes, like I am so angry, but I'm angry at him and it's still pointed at him. And she goes on to say, based off of, I think it's Revelation 3. Sorry, I didn't prepare to say this, but definitely Revelation. When God is saying, when Jesus is saying, you know, you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm, and so I spit you out. Get out of here. I want no part of you. Like, that's what God can't handle. That's what Jesus can't be a part of, is lukewarm, is indifference, right? But he can handle our questions. He can handle us being angry at him, because picture those moments when, you know, you're in a fight with your husband, or you've been angry at your parent when you're a little kid, and you're just so angry. But the next thing you know, you're buried in their chest and you're just sobbing. And yes, you might be angry, but this is also the person you trust so much. And you know they're going to love you even in your anger. Guys, God is like a million times better than whoever that person has been in your life, right? Whether, again, it's a parent, it's a spouse, I mean, or it's a kid who's done that to you, right? I mean, God is so much greater than that. Do you think he's ever going to turn us away because we just scream and yell, and maybe we throw up our hands and say we're done? But the next thing you know, we have our heads just buried in his chest, just sobbing, because we're just like, Lord, we don't get it. And I just want to encourage you that we don't have to get it. Our hearts, our minds weren't made for what this world is. And the things we see and the brokenness we experience. You know, in a Young Life, the ministry I work for, I work specifically with students with disabilities. And my husband and I, have Bible study here at our home a couple times a month with our friends. And we were studying Lazarus, that Jesus raises Lazarus. But we're, you know, sharing with these kids about how Jesus just wept at the grave of Lazarus, right? How he wept with his friends. The God of the universe wept. And it was moments before he knew he was going to raise his best friend from the dead. And it's just like, we can't wrap our brains around that, right? Like, we can't wrap our brains around, but Jesus, you know he's going to be alive in like 5 seconds. But he still wept. And so I just want to encourage you, like, weep over the things that hurt. Weep over a suffering child. Weep over a friend who's fighting for their kid's life. Weep over that divorce. Weep over that broken relationship. Weep over that loss, that death. Jesus wept. Jesus was grieved. Jesus was moved with compassion for people. I mean, nothing has like touched my heart more than just seeing. And that's the thing. That's what the Bible tells us, is he is the image of the invisible God. Like, he was meant to come to show us who is God. And when you see the way Jesus was moved by people, by pain, by suffering, the compassion, the empathy he had, the places he went, the people he touched, the weeping at his friend's grave, right? Like, I mean, we can't not be like that. We have to be like that. And we have to know it's okay. It just encourages me constantly that I don't have to have it all together. That I am able to be honest and authentic and real with the Lord. He can handle it. He can so handle it. I mean, even last night, it was like we had Bible study here with our Young Life kids, and we were talking about just Jesus's death, with Easter having just passed and stuff. And, you know, we're still kind of talking about some of the events leading up to that. And, you know, and these kids even were just like, I can't wrap my brain around the fact that he loves me that much, that he would die for me. And so it's like, when we think of the fact too, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Should it surprise us that when we get a little temperamental or when we're ready to walk away and say we're done, that he's still going to love us? That he's still going to hold on tight to us even when we want to walk away? Like, should that surprise us? Probably not really, right? He's shown us that his love is so great that while we were sinners, he would physically die for us. So it really shouldn't surprise us. But yet in that day, in that moment, the Lord humbled me, and that was a transformative day because Courtney's issues didn't go away at that time with this pain she was dealing with. And I want to emphasize quickly, because I remember, you know, in this season, I remember talking to one of my close friends one Sunday at church. And I remember just being so upset, so grief-stricken by what we were going through and what Court was going through. And I just remember her looking at me puzzled and saying, "But I thought you were okay with the fact that she was disabled." And I had to explain to her that suffering and a disability are two different things, and that chronic pain is different than a disability. And so I guess I want to emphasize that too, that this was not just Courtney and who she was with multiple disabilities or even some chronic healthcare needs. This was like chronic suffering, chronic pain. And it was incredibly, incredibly hard to walk through. But I want to just wrap up by sharing a couple things that I was reminded of that have really helped me as I always try to understand and be able to be teachable and have my faith increased by the Lord to trust him more and more on the journey that I'm on and my family's on. But, you know, and I know that there's definitely a wide array of theologies, and I'll just very candidly point out, you know, we have this prosperity gospel that can be very popular. And it's, you know, this false gospel that we're being taught that everyone is meant to be healthy, everyone's meant to be wealthy, that, you know, basically like suffering cannot touch you, which is interesting. It's a very interesting theology because, number one, it's not biblical. And number two, it's like, well, we all die. And so, like, most likely you're going to have a disability or a disease or something that takes your life when you die. So it's a very interesting theology, but it's very appealing to people who maybe don't know the Bible well, who don't know scripture well, and can't necessarily discern well, you know, what the Bible says and what the disciples went through, what Paul went through. I mean, you know, even today I was reading in my Bible, God says like how much Paul is going to have to suffer for his name. Like he is going to have to suffer. And God knows that. God picks that, chooses that for him. And we just see that over and over and over again in scripture. And so one of the things that has really helped me journey through a challenging kind of life with disability or through these seasons of chronic pain or just chronic disease, different things like that, is just realizing what God does with it, what he's accomplishing with it. And some of that we're not going to know this side of heaven. Like when I think about heaven for Court, I think about how beautiful, since she's with Jesus, how beautiful it must have been. You know, obviously we don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like, but when he begins or continues to reveal to her all the things he was doing behind the scenes in her suffering and how he was using it, whether it was to show nurses or physicians himself, you know, as I shared, I believe the story of Court leading her cousin Autumn to Christ. I mean, my husband and I say right there, if Autumn knowing Jesus and going to heaven someday, if that was the only thing that came from Court's suffering, from Court's disability, from, you know, her situation, that was enough. Like someone else getting to go to heaven and be in heaven for eternity with the Lord, like that's enough. So, but I just think how beautiful it's going to be when God reveals to each one of us the things he was doing behind the scenes, the things that he was teaching us and how he changed us and how he showed his glory and how he used it for good, even when it didn't feel like it. But a couple things that I want to be very clear about, and again, I'm going to go back to Johnny Erickson Tada because I think she tackles this so well. And again, I'm going to recommend When God Weeps, Why Our Sufferings Matter to the Almighty, this book by Johnny Erickson Tada. But I really cling to that book a lot because it was the first time I was ever really taught that God hates suffering. Because I think as Christians, we're often taught just to throw up our hands and go, okay, God's good, God's great. We're not supposed to feel pain. We're not supposed to say life's hard. And that's just not real. And that's just not how life works. That's not what we're capable of. That's not how our hearts work. That's not how our brains work. So it was very helpful to me to really understand, like, okay, God, who are you in the midst of suffering? Who are you? And I think Johnny does a really beautiful job differentiating that God uses what he hates to achieve what he loves. God uses what he hates to achieve what he loves. And so think about that. There's things that the Lord allows. He doesn't like them necessarily, but there's things he allows that he knows are going to produce something that needs to happen, right? And I think that's really important to be able to differentiate those two things. Like anything that is happening on this earth that isn't going to make its way into heaven is something that is going to get reversed, right? Like kind of reverse the curse, right? And I'll be honest with you guys, there is a theology that there will be disabilities in heaven. And I don't know exactly where I land on that at this point. That's something I need to dig into more and decide kind of where I land on that. But that is in the Christian disability community, that is very much a theology that people have and believe in, that there will be disability in heaven. And so, and I don't think that's far-fetched, but again, I feel like I need to do more digging myself to decide kind of where I land. Like, is disability going to not exist in heaven? Is it going to exist in heaven? I'm not, you know, not totally sure, and not sure any of us can be totally sure, but a lot of the negative connotation we put on disability is very man-made and very cultural. And so, you know, sometimes we even equate a disability with suffering where I look at Courtney and I think, oh my word, like Court had more joy and more contentment in Christ and spiritually had so much more than I have. Like, was she really lacking, right? Does her disability need to be changed? You know, does that make sense? Like it's a big question. It's a very, very big question. Again, I'm not there yet with where I land or exactly what I believe, but I would say it is a theology that is out there that people I respect a lot do land in that camp. But I would say, you know, when we think about things that we know are not going to be in heaven, sin, right? Anything that's sinful, like we know God wants that alleviated. We know God wants that restored. And, you know, you think of when you pray the Lord's Prayer and we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, our prayer should be that we want heaven here. We want things reversed here, right? We want the earth to reflect God's kingdom here. We're trying to bring those things here. And yet, you know, part of that is kind of what I had shared in the podcast about us adopting Kevin is, but we're called to be his hands and his feet to do those things. The church is called to alleviate the suffering, to take away some of those sins, right? To, you know, to restore things that can be restored this side of heaven. I say that to say God does permit things that he doesn't love, right? He uses things he hates to achieve what he loves. And that's a really remarkable quote and statement. And so I would just encourage you to just really ponder that and remember that. And, you know, when we look at scripture, you can see that. You can see in the book of Job, you could see Satan going to God and saying, "Can I do these awful, horrific things to Job?" And God basically has Satan on a leash and says, "Sure, here's what you can do to him, X, Y, and Z. Here's what you can't do to him." But Job endured horrific, horrific things, right? Like, this is a perfect example of God was totally in control, but Satan was also on the prowl, but God had to give permission, right? Like, so it's very interesting. And sometimes that's a hard pill for people to swallow when you really dig into the theology of suffering. But I also want to challenge you to stop and also think a couple things. Without God being in control of even the hardest thing you've walked through in your life, if it was just random, your suffering, your challenges, they would be absolutely meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. And I'm going to guess that even in those days that are hard, even in those times that you question God and you wonder where he is, who he is, when you have that little bit of hope that he is going to do something good with it, that gives you hope. That keeps you going. Because kind of like I shared about my situation, you take Jesus out of the equation, you have zero answers for what you're walking through. You have zero answers. You have zero hope. You've got nothing. And so that's where we really do come to this kind of fork in the road where we have to understand, yes, he's in complete control. And that sometimes can be hard to swallow. And it's okay to say that, right? But without that acknowledgement, our suffering would be meaningless. And this world is so crazy hard. This life is so hard. How can we take God out of the equation? Why would we want to take God out of the equation, right? I mean, don't you do that sometimes where you watch someone who doesn't know the Lord walk through something really hard and go, like, how do you do this? How are they even lasting a minute in this without Jesus? Because we know what our hope is. We know where our trust is. We know that the Bible promises that somehow, some way, he's working it together for our good, right? And so I also would say, if God didn't permit evil, and this is from Johnny as well, these are kind of those three things I wanted to share with you that she has shared that really impacted me tremendously. If God doesn't have to permit evil, right, meaning give like the green light to it at times and certain evils for good, right, to achieve something he loves, then it would be evil uncontrolled. And honestly, think of how evil our world is already and picture that evil unleashed. Because again, if you look at the story of Job, we know that Satan is on a leash. We know that God has to give his consent, right? And so think of everything that would happen in this world if Satan was not on that leash. And so the reality is, we should want God to be the one permitting it. And we may look at it and go, you know, hey, why does there have to be any evil? And here's how I'm going to wrap up, because I saw this amazing quote. And it kind of brings us to that question that we sometimes hear, like, why do bad things happen to good people? And I think it was on Good Friday that one of my friends had posted this quote. And I just pulled it up on Facebook because I wasn't planning on saying this. But I was like, dang, this is an amazing quote. It's by R.C. Sproul. And it says, why do bad things happen to good people? That only happened once and he volunteered. And so then it just goes back to that theology of none of us are good. So don't even ask why bad things happen to good people. We're not good people. Only Jesus was good. Only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus was without sin. And so the basis really is, no, we're not good people, right? We're actually sinners and we were enemies of God until Jesus died for us and gave us forgiveness for our sins and made a way for us, right, to know the Lord. So even that, I would say, ponder that. That's big. I'll put that quote in the show notes along with some of the scripture references that I made. But, you know, to wrap up, you guys, I just want to encourage you. I want to just encourage you to just be real. Again, just remember that even in our anger, even in our frustrations, that that is still taking us to Jesus. And anything that brings us to Jesus is a good thing. And if it's taking us to him, it's a good thing. And he can handle it. And he has us secure in his hand. He is greater than our hearts. And so be encouraged by that. But I also want to say, let these transformative moments like I had that you may have as well, let those just be what keeps reminding you of his faithfulness to you, his goodness to you, and how his kindness continually leads us to repentance. Be blessed, my friends. Thanks for joining me today. And I will see you next time. Take care. Friends, thank you so much for joining me today on Invited In with Christine Boyle, where disability and faith meet. I love this time together. I don't take it for granted. Hey, hop on over to ChristineBoyle.com. Check out my speaking page. I'd love to speak at your next event. And also, please don't forget to leave a review and rating. It matters. It makes a difference. It helps others to know that this is a podcast that is impactful to you. Thanks again for joining me, for listening, for your love and support. Take care, guys.